Hi, this is Gardening Related. Welcome, I'm Aunt Rebecca in Oregon.
And I'm Elizabeth over in New York. How's it going? How are you?
It's been a minute. Good, how are you?
Good.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good. Did Forrest get back from Canada all right?
Yeah, and actually he said that there were no issues with any of the fires. It didn't smell over there. There wasn't any smoke, so...
It's all come down into America.
Yeah, I guess. And he just ate really well and went to all these nice restaurants and just came back with all these
pictures of food, right? Good.
Yeah.
Great.
And I actually just went camping too. I went camping in Vermont and we stayed at this adorable little farm. We were glamping. It was a little girl's trip. So we glamped in this little cabin and we were on a farm in upstate Vermont, right outside of Bennington, like 10 minutes outside of Bennington. There were sheep right outside our cabin. It was so sweet.
I love it.
Yeah. And they were growing fields and fields of sunflowers. They had this herb garden that like to die for. I took notes on everything. And
did you take pictures?
I took pictures.
Good.
And they said that we could pick a few flowers, pick a few herbs. So every morning I would pick just a handful of herbs and we made fresh tea. They were growing tulsi and like three different kinds of mint and peppermint, spearmint.
Oh my gosh.
So we had tulsi tea, St. John's wort.
You had what tea?
Tulsi. If you haven't had it, it's my favorite kind of tea. It's an Indian.
Okay, first spell it.
T-U-L-S-I. Tulsi.
Okay.
Yeah.
Never heard of it.
It's delicious. You can find it.
Okay.
I typically find it more in like health food stores. And it is on the more expensive end. So I was really, really excited to see that he was growing it in upstate Vermont. Like,
oh my gosh.
If he's growing
it,
I can grow it.
Yes, ma'am.
And then I can have tulsi tea and I don't have to pay $6 a box.
No, you don't.
Because it's my treat tea. It's like my, ooh, I'm going to get some tulsi. Let's be bad. You know?
That'll be great. And you know, when you overgrow it, because it'll grow in time so much that you could give it to some people who love tea.
Exactly. I don't know if it would last our winters. You know, I think I may have to plant it by seed again and again.
You know, I don't know if this applies, but once when I was in Italy and I watched my cousin Patrizia make a sauce for her pasta, she had the tomatoes in the pan and she'd already made the onions and the garlic and she opened up the freezer and out came a whole stem of frozen basil, frozen. Just stick the stem in.
Huh.
Cover it with plastic, stick the stem in, unwrap the stem delicately from the plastic, and crush the frozen leaves right into your pan. Wrap the rest of it back up in the plastic and stick it back in the freezer.
Did it taste like basil?
It worked.
It worked?
It was beautiful.
That's crazy.
So maybe you could do the same thing with mint.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Huh.
It's an idea.
That is crazy because I mean basil is one of those things that's like if you're not growing it fresh, don't bother. Don't cook basil. Don't freeze I guess frozen pesto works. So that makes sense.
But this was
But the whole leaf. This was really interesting.
The whole leaves. I mean, the whole stem. The leaves were still on the stem, as if she'd cut off the stem from the garden, wrapped it in a plastic bag, and stuck it in the freezer.
Wow.
Dry, not chopped up, and then, you know, it'll break when it's frozen right into your pan.
Wait, so did she dry the basil or she put the basil fresh into the freezer?
Fresh.
Yeah. Okay, that's what I would do because dried basil, it loses that magic. No. Yeah.
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 So I think that maybe if I were you, I would, you know, because mint is so hard to grow. I would cut off a piece, one of your, you know, your trusted, treasured mint. I would work a stem, maybe wash it and dry it, because who knows what birds have been on it. Stick it in a plastic bag and see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. And with my basil plants, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good to know. And, you know, with we're coming up on the end of summer. We were just talking about it. So these are the quick hacks and tips that we need to know for preserving these things.
Yes. So one of the things that I learned from some reading someplace, because I had a lot of basil and I made pesto and I made pesto and I made pesto. And finally, I'd made so much that we couldn't keep it all. You know, it was going to go bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the last bit of basil, I chopped it up in my food processor with some olive oil, and I put it into ice cube trays.
Yes.
Sometimes I put it with the olive oil, and sometimes I put it also with some garlic.
Mm-hmm.
And I covered up the ice, you know, I covered it up and let it freeze. And then when they were frozen, I broke them open and I put them all into a plastic bag so they wouldn't get, you know, weird flavored from other foods. And boy, does that come in handy when you need a kick in the middle of winter and you've got, you know, canned tomatoes and you're hoping for a good pasta sauce and you throw in a couple of those ice cubes and man, does that make a difference.
It's so true. I think ice cube trays are one of the most underutilized kitchen product that we have. I put my bacon fat in ice cube trays.
Your bacon fat? Mm-hmm. That's brilliant.
Uh-huh. I think I've talked about this one other time on here, but it is amazing. You're making a soup, and we try to limit our meat intake, so we don't eat a lot of meat. So I'm not always making bacon, but, you know, the couple times a month that I do, I save the fat. And then when I'm making a soup, frying onions, I just take out a ice cube of bacon fat, throw it in the pan. Oh, my God. Just be careful because you can't technically serve it to vegans or your vegetarian friends.
Now,
so.
Talk to me for a split second. You fried the bacon. Your pan is hot. The bacon fat is there and it's liquid. Can you pour it directly into a plastic ice cube tray?
I have silicone ice cube trays.
Oh, you're fancy.
That's what they were selling at Target.
You didn't tell me you were fancy. Okay.
Hey, you know, only the best. I only shop at Target.
Only the best for the bacon fat.
Yes.
I once had a girlfriend who, when I had moved and I'd been trying to teach her how to cook, and I married Haunt and I had to move away from Taos. And I said to her, go to Noelle. She knows how to cook really well and she loves you. And she said, I know, but she's going to tell me to marinate everything in water and you tell me to marinate everything in bacon fat. So I love bacon fat.
Right?
I was raised on bacon fat. It's a Landrum trait, bacon fat. But I have known my bacon fat to get rancid because I don't use it enough.
Yeah. Yes.
So this is a wonderful opportunity. Mm-hmm. Love that idea.
Yeah. I mean, anything you can think of that you want to save, put it in an ice cube tray if it's liquid, and store it that way. Or like little
What about
containers.
Mint leaves? Can you do mint leaves in water and make tea? And ice?
I mean, okay, so another thing that I'm doing, spoiler alert, I mean, you probably won't love this, I'll give you a small one, but I'm making, I'm collecting tea leaves from around the garden, all of the different things, and I'm going to make teas for everyone for Christmas this year.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, with like different...
That's such a great idea.
Right? Right? I mean, we have so much, we're growing so much, so... Yeah, I'm collecting mullein and mint and all of these other things, and I'm going to make teas for everyone. So I just have a baking tray sitting on top of my microwave with a piece of parchment paper under it and all of these herbs, and I just dry them out, and every week or so I crumble them up. Store them in a jar. I'm using my label maker. And, you know, It's teeth.
It's official.
Can easily be reconstituted. So yeah.
It's official. If you're using your label maker, it's official.
It's official. Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, mint tea, like literally that's the easiest thing. All you got to do before the winter time comes
is dry
your
it.
Mint dies is harvest it all. It'll come back. No matter how much you pick it, you will not kill it.
It'll come back. It'll definitely come back. So that's a really good thing. So you don't need to freeze your mint leaves. You can just dry them.
I think you can just dry them. And, you know, if I want them done and out of my counter space quick, I just put my oven on the lowest setting that it'll go, which is, I think, 200, maybe 250. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And I stick it in there for 15 minutes and they crisp
that's
up
it?
Real nice. Yeah.
15 minutes at 200.
I think so. Yeah, maybe it's
really?
Longer. Maybe it's longer. Don't trust me on times or measurements.
That's okay.
I'm not the person to come
How
to
long
for
do you put it
exact.
In the microwave for? How long do you put it in the microwave for?
No, not in the microwave, on the microwave. Just on the counter.
So that it air dries.
Air dries, yes.
Got it.
Yeah. Yeah. Do not microwave.
If you're putting a cookie sheet in the microwave, your microwave's going to bust.
Yeah. No. Good thing. I should be clear about that.
Yeah, she's got silicone ice cube trays. She's probably got plastic perfect, you know, somethings for the microwave. Okay. So you're air drying it. I got it.
Yeah.
Yes, and you can do that in the oven, and you can do it with soil as well as leaves to sterilize your soil. But it takes about an hour, maybe a little longer at a low heat. It depends on how thick your soil is in the pan you've got it in.
Yeah. Well, speaking about like having these fresh things in winter, I know winter is a ways off. We're not there yet. But those thoughts keep creeping in and I'm resisting it. I don't want to say goodbye to summer yet. I'm wearing short sleeves. We are here.
You're good. You're good for probably another 3 weeks.
I
in
think
your area.
So. Yes.
And I'm good for another 6 in mine. Yeah.
I want it to be longer than 3 weeks. Anyway.
Move back. Duh.
It's you just said it was 109 there today.
It was 105 here today, but and we've had more 100 degree days than we've ever had. Mm-mm. Broken many, many records. But mm-mm. I mean we're not Arizona, thank God. Thank
Getting
God.
Getting close. God. That's
and
awful.
This is gonna last for 3 days. And I wanted to talk to everybody about when you do get a heat wave like that, you've got to water twice a day minimum.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because your plants are going to just dry out really, really quickly. So I'm assuming that most gardeners water early in the morning. And then you need to water maybe not right at evening because that's not good for your roses. I would water maybe around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I know it's the height of the heat, but it will give your roses time to dry before sunset so they won't get powdery mildew on them.
And then when you are watering them at 3 p.m., you know, height of the day, height of the heat,
How long?
You making sure not to get the leaves wet? Because I've heard that if you wet the leaves, the sun will burn through them because they create like a little prism, right?
It can. It absolutely can. And sometimes that's okay because you don't want to lose your rose.
Yeah.
You know, so
better
you,
a hole
it's
in
lesser,
a leaf than a dead plant. Yeah.
And we have a spray, an automatic spray that comes up. So everything gets wet, but it also dries very quickly.
Right.
Because it's so damn hot.
Yeah.
However, underneath, it still gets that wet. And so they don't dry out so much that they get papery thin, you know, dried out. So you got to water in the heat more. And that goes double, triple for any pots. Because pots get drier faster than anything.
They have more surface area on the outside.
They do have more surface
especially
area.
Especially if
that's
they're
right.
terracotta. Yeah. Which terracotta just sucks. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Which is a really important thing. All your hanging baskets need to be watered twice a day when you're in the heat. Mm-hmm. It's just awful. But there you go.
There you go. There you have
there you
it.
Go.
Heard it here first. Hot take. Water twice.
Yep. At least twice. You know, unless it's a cactus.
Yes.
And then you water it when it gets
leave
dry.
Them be. Yeah. Well, watering has not been an issue for me.
For you.
I haven't needed to think about watering in 2 months.
Seriously, Elizabeth.
I have not watered my garden since maybe longer, June. Since May.
Really?
I haven't watered my garden since May.
So you just got so much rain.
We have gotten so much rain and so consistently. It's, you know, if we go 2 days without rain, without a heavy thunderstorm, I'm shocked. Yeah. And wow. At that point, it's been raining so plants need the break. I'm not going to water them, you know,
yeah.
2 days.
No,
okay,
don't water
fine.
Them.
So, yeah, I literally have not watered since, you know, maybe early June.
Wow.
Now, crazy water.
Top dressing is a good thing when you get a lot of rain like that. Of course, it's said in hindsight because you don't know you're going to get that rain.
Yeah.
But still, top dressing with manure is always a really good way to
soak all that,
keep feeding them
nutrients.
Yeah. Because the nutrients wash out.
Yeah.
With a lot of rain. So you might need to think about that for next year if you get that rain. It's going to be a spectacular fall for you.
Yes. Yes.
The colors will be gorgeous.
Yeah, I
gorgeous
think so.
There.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. So this is a really magic for me time in the garden. Mm-hmm. You're too damn tired to do much. It's really hot. You don't want to think about it. So you want to head inside and play in the air conditioning for a while. And I highly recommend that you look at all of the nurseries online because this is the time when they're desperate to unload their plants.
Yeah.
This is the time for the sale. This is sales are us time. Yeah. I was looking at creeping phlox because mine suddenly went missing. And Brex was selling them for $40.
Ooh.
Which I wouldn't pay for. But now they're on sale three for $13.99.
Oh.
So I'm thinking of getting a few.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. And they get six at least.
Exactly. Because and you should go to not only the online stuff. I'm going online because it's 105 out. But for those of you that are, it's nice out, go to your local nurseries. You're doing them a favor by
support
buying local. Mm-hmm. By buying local and buying on sale. They're doing you a favor.
Yes. Yes.
You know, so you have both a win-win in that.
I scratch and, you know, your back, you plant my yard.
Yeah. And now is the time to look because you're not going to think about it in late October, let's say, but you might want a tree.
Yeah.
So now's the time to think about the tree because by October, everybody's already bought them because they're smarter than you. So you be just as smart and go buy them now.
Go buy your trees now. Yeah,
go
plant
buy your
trees.
Tree now. Keep it in the pot until it turns a little bit chilly. Preferably the leaves fall off it. It starts to go dormant.
Oh.
And then, but it doesn't have to. Then dig your square hole and amend it with half good soil, half bad soil, and plant it where you've thought about it 16 different ways to Sunday because you can't move it.
Yeah.
It will not like being moved.
No.
So, you know, and you could have beautiful trees that way. And usually, you know, a tree is half price by now. Sometimes a third of the price or a quarter because they have to get rid of them to make new ones for next year, room for next year.
Yeah. Yes. And they probably won't last the winter with bare roots exposed, at least
that's right.
In, you know, upstate New York, they won't.
That's right.
And, you know, I have to say, so we planted a tree with my mom and grandma and aunt for Mother's Day.
Nice.
This past year. And it was
in Jersey.
So nice in Jersey. Yeah. They've Good. Lost. They have river maples, swamp maples.
Yes.
That are about
They're
70
They're
years old. They're beautiful, but they most of them have died at this point. I guess from continual floods, oh. and then yeah, maybe also lack of rain. And apparently they're just short lifespaned. They just have a short lifespan. So a lot of them have died. And they hadn't realized that how many of their trees, these beautiful trees, had died.
Yeah.
So, you know, we brought them a tree and we planted it, and it was such a magical experience. You know, it is, you think planting plants, you know, feels good. It feels good to have your hands in the soil. We like planting flowers. We like planting vegetables. But when you plant a tree, it's something else. You know, you are connecting with the past, the present, and the future.
Yes.
And the knowledge that that tree is going to be there for a long, long time. Past you, it's going to make other people and other animals and other bugs and critters,
flowers,
and spirits
and
happy.
And birds.
Mm-hmm. You are contributing to the world when you plant
a
tree.
And you're contributing to the environment. And it's so important. Yeah. It's so, so important. Yeah. And I thought, watching trees, when I first started gardening, I thought trees, first of all, I rented, so I couldn't plant a tree. And secondly, I thought trees were boring because they didn't flower. But now I've discovered, when I own my own land and I planted many, many, many trees, it's so exciting because they'll grow 6 feet. You know, in a year. And it's so exciting. And maybe I have an oak that I started as a little stick. It looked like a ruler.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like a 12-inch stick. And I stuck it in the ground. And now it's 30 feet tall.
Oh.
It's taken it 7 or 8 years. We were afraid we'd mow over it for the first 3. I thought it would never take, you know, that expression, the first year they sleep, the second year they creep, the third year they leap. Mm. Well, it didn't leap at 3. It didn't leap at 4. It leaped at 7. Leapt at 7. And I'm telling you, it keeps leaping every year now. I mean, it's like doubling and tripling in size. And it's so exciting to see this oak. And I know, because I live in Oregon, that Oregon is going to get hotter and drier and drier, even as high up as I am near Portland.
Yeah.
And I know that the oak trees that I plant today may be the only trees left by the time you're my age.
Yeah.
Or by the time your children are my age.
Yeah.
And so the birds need help. So I'm on this mission now to try to plant as many oak trees as I can possibly do. They don't, out here, oaks don't like summer water.
Mm-hmm.
They rot. So it's perfect because we don't have the rains. You don't have to take care of them. You plant them once and then they do well in dry, long seasons of dry in summer and heat, and then wet winters to make up for it. And they're loving it. And it will give the birds homes in the next 50 years. Mm-hmm. May not be today, you know, but I'm telling you to have seen this stick, this little 12-inch stick, grow to 30 or 40 feet over my head with many, many branches and many, many leaves is a joy to behold.
Yeah. Yeah.
It really is. Mm-hmm. So for those of you that own your property and are complaining about your air conditioning bills, let me tell you something. When you plant a tree, you plant for the next generation's air conditioning bills to be much lower because the shade will grow over your house. And you don't have to plant it right next to the house. In fact, don't. Don't plant it right next to the house.
No,
let
no,
the trees
don't.
Grow. Let the trees grow. And for those of you that think that your trees are going to get too big and fall on the house, it happens in giant storms. And yes, we're getting more of them. We see that more. But we see the one or two houses per storm of, 200 million people.
Mm-hmm.
So don't think that every tree falls.
No. No, they don't. And, you know, you do want to plant a decent ways away from the house.
That's right. 30, 40 feet minimum.
Yeah.
You know, so that they have room to spread and grow.
Mm-hmm.
And you're doing the environment so much good.
Yes. Oh, my God. There was this... there was this video that I saw recently about, you know, everyone's complaining about how we're getting hotter. Let's go ahead and measure all of these different surfaces. So yeah. they measured grass, you know, it's 80 degrees out. They measured yeah. grass. It was 70 degrees.
Yeah.
They measured blacktop, 110 yeah. degrees.
Yeah.
Concrete, 100 degrees. Yeah. Then they measured a wooded forest floor.
Yes.
57 degrees.
Don't you love it?
So, you know, I mean, it's that like, is
duh.
The Earth's insulation. And, yes. you know, if you want the benefits of trees, we think of things as, you know, being so, well, is it what is it giving to me? Instead of how many uses does this have for not just myself, but every living thing around me?
That's right.
And trees are everybody,
and also everybody wants to live on a tree-lined street.
Yes.
Why
yes.
aren't they planting trees, lining all the streets? Yeah.
You know,
it's impossible to do.
I know you're saying, and I do partially agree with you. If you rent, maybe don't plant a tree there. But I don't know. I kind of think it's one of the better passive ways of rebellion and eco.
Yes.
Eco warriorism is to, yes. you know, plant a tree. I've heard of people sneaking places and planting trees.
Yes.
And that, you know, on property. And, if that tree is in a good spot where it's not going to disturb someone's property and it's, you know,
yep.
and it is a native tree in the area and it, there needs to be a tree there anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. Why not? Plant a tree. Why not? Plant a tree. No one else is doing it. Do it. Lawns are bad. Trees are good.
That's right.
Controversial opinion.
I know. And there's I keep getting on my Facebook page these notifications for HOAs doing horrible things to homeowners that want a no-mow May and mm-hmm. and create biodiverse lawns and yeah. they're making them rip them out and stuff, and I'm thinking, no, you really want your children to have bees for food. You really yeah. want that. You don't know that you want that, but you do. And this is what it looks like.
I will say, I'm a realtor. I drive around neighborhoods all day, every day. And this year, especially, and it could just be that I'm looking for it more, but I really do see an uptick. I am seeing so many more yards where the front yard is not lawn, but it's just wild grass and native flowers and all of this beautiful, like, just pop of color and abundance and life. And I mean, I would say it's probably up to one out of every 20 houses has,
well, you know, Elizabeth,
these amazing front yards. Yes. No one plays in your front yard. You no. don't actually use your front yard. It's
no.
there for, you know, for the Looks. Neighbors to look at. Yeah. So yeah.
So you're not in traffic. Habitat. It's there for you to not be in traffic. That's right.
Yeah. Why bother mowing it?
Elizabeth, don't you remember we did a podcast about this about
yeah.
6 or 8 months ago? And
yeah.
everybody listened.
Okay. Yes.
That's what
yes.
it was. That's what it was. It was our podcast already.
Yeah. Just the right time. Everyone did
that.
It.
Every yeah. 20 yards is doing that. And yeah. do you know what that does for the insects and the birds and everything? Yeah. That's going to make... I mean, maybe next year they'll make them mow it down, but there'll be another 20 people and another.
Here's the thing, though. It's so much less work. If you yes. think about, you spend
and money
an hour mowing yes. your lawn every single week, and the gas that it costs, the gas that it took to buy the mower, to get the mower to you.
You or know, if you're me, how to pay somebody.
Yes. And, yes. you know, the lawn service driving around from this place to that place to this place. Well, if you have a native meadow that yes. you're growing, guess what? You mow it once in the spring.
Yeah.
You leave it in the winter because, you know, all the little bunnies
yes,
need their little
need
habitat.
That. Yeah.
And they have their little homes. And then in the spring, I don't know, stomp it down and then mow it. And
you deadhead it.
Yeah.
You just deadhead last year's growth.
Exactly.
So because that's not going to regrow mm-hmm. and you start afresh. And
yeah. And you just do it once. It's and you just 1 hour.
And you can throw poppy seeds in. You can throw all these seeds in. I was reading, you know, I have that favorite garden of mine that I love so much called Great Dixter.
Yeah.
In England, they have a meadow. Mm-hmm. They were one of the first great gardens of England to actually not over-garden their property. They have a meadow. They have a whole bunch of topiaries in it, which is fun.
Yeah.
But they have this way cool meadow. And I was reading yesterday or the day before that they were going to mow it soon for the seeds.
Yeah.
And that they give away a big bag of seeds every year to first come, first serve on a list.
Oh, I love that.
So if you get a call from them and you're not home, they move on to the next guy. You've lost. But if you're home, you go over there, you pick up your bag. It comes with instructions on what to do so that you can create a meadow like theirs. And they have a meadow that's shocking.
Yeah.
I mean, it's colorful all summer long.
Yeah.
And they call it orchid rich because it has, I have one orchid in my garden, one tiny little orchid that I found when I moved in here. And it's still there. Mm-hmm. But they have them, they have, you know, 20 per foot.
Wow.
They're shocking. If you go to greatdixter.com or their Facebook page on Great Dixter, D-I-X-T-E-R, you'll see their meadows. And it's, Elizabeth, it's so heartwarming because the people from all over there know about this and plant meadows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they get instructions on how to do it.
Yes.
So that they, that it will survive and thrive.
Yes.
Don't you love it?
I do. I do. And there are, you know, you want to stay within your area.
Yeah.
Look up your specific area, what native plants, what native grasses to plant. Go to your local
native,
nursery.
Native nurseries.
Yeah, and ask and, you know, spread those
They'll
seeds.
Help you.
I put in, so we haven't been mowing the back third of our lawn for the last 2 years since we moved in. And I just put in some flowers, some columbine, black-eyed Susans,
I saw
yarrow.
That in the back of your the back of your car.
Yeah.
Good.
Yes. So I started putting them all in. Some phlox, putting all of that stuff in. And you know, starting to turn it in. I've just kind of been watching, seeing what's there, and now I'm turning it into a meadow. And I have the the privilege of not having an HOA up my butt.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, no one has minded the last third of my yard being just wild.
And you can seed gather that and sell seed.
Yeah.
For people in your area.
We're actually going to be planting another willow tree in our backyard because it's very swampy. So it's one of the points of, you know, planting trees. And it will work into our native meadow actually pretty nicely.
Good.
So yeah, that's what we're looking to do.
Also, birches eat a lot of water. Take a lot of
water.
Ooh,
I love birches too.
Yeah, so you might want to think about
that
too.
That's a really good idea. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we
one of the other things.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
That's okay.
One of the other things that I've been thinking about too, as you know, we are in the dog days of summer and saying goodbye to all of this amazing fresh food that we're having access to now, is starting an indoor hydroponics garden.
You are courageous.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking of doing it in the basement with grow lights.
Okay.
And so, you know, water will not be too much of an issue.
Good.
If it leaks or anything.
If it
happens.
Leaks, that's exactly what I was thinking of because you're on the second floor. Good.
Yeah, no, that would suck. So, I mean, I've looked into it. You can buy them on Amazon for like $300 or $600.
For a whole setup.
It seems like a lot. For a whole setup.
Yeah.
Or you can spend, you know, seems to be, I've just started pricing this out, seems to be around $200 or $250 for all of the piping. You get PVC pipes and all the ends that, you know, you can stick plants in. and loop them out of. And then the big expense is the water pump to keep the water going.
Ah.
Yeah.
Does it have to run 24/7? Probably.
Probably. I think so. Yeah. And then you get some nutrients and you just, you know, have the water be nutrient rich. And you can have fresh lettuce and fresh basil
in the dead
all
of winter.
Year long that's in the right. dead of winter. So that's what I'm going to be trying coming up. So yep. stay tuned for that.
Oh, good.
When Forrest was out of town, it was like set my hair on fire.
I know.
I tackled all of these big projects that I had been wanting to tackle for so long. So I did some electroculture, which is...
How'd that go?
Well, okay. So literally all it is you get a big stick from your yard.
Yeah.
And we had one. Keep all the branches in a, yes. in a yes. pile.
Of course you do.
So I just took the biggest branch and got off all of the twigs, and I grabbed some copper wire at Home Depot, and I looped the copper wire up
the stick,
and left a little pointy tip of wire coming off the top of it, and I stuck it in the ground. That's it. That's all you do.
But that's not electric. I mean, you didn't hook it up to your
no.
I don't know. Nothing. Okay.
No. So
that's what I'm thinking you have to do.
So it's kind of like a divining rod.
Yeah,
and
I got it.
I think it's definitely fringe gardening. You know, it's a
Did
little bit
Did you notice
more...
any difference in the plants around the stick?
I'm not doing it scientifically.
No, you're not doing it. Okay.
I stuck it in like when my tomato plants are already huge and everything is doing really well. So
good.
Supposedly, and we'll see next year, I'll do the same thing because I have it in my raised bed. I have two raised beds right next to each other. So I'll feed them the exact same thing, plant some of the similar things in them, and we'll see what happens.
That'll be fun.
Because supposedly, they grow 3 times bigger with the electroculture. And the science, quote unquote, science behind it, I've read some articles.
Yeah.
Is that it collects the electricity from the air. Because there is just electricity in the air.
I do know that.
So it
collects
it. I don't
know how to use it, but this is cool.
The copper is a conduit, and it can collect it and ground it down into the soil. And having that electricity helps the plants grow.
Cool.
I don't know. We'll see.
This
you know, it looks kind of pretty, and I'm into that.
You know what? Who knows? We don't know what we don't know yet, so therefore we might as well play.
Exactly.
You're playing.
Exactly.
Yes. And that's what makes you happy, and that's what keeps you going.
Yes.
I like it.
Who knows if it's doing anything, but it's making me happy.
It makes you happy. That's enough.
Right. I got some flowers in my back meadow.
Yeah.
I got my electroculture going. And then I also bought a big old tub for my hydroponic system.
This is cool.
In the basement. So
this is very, very cool.
Right. When I'm more distracted or less distracted with my garden.
Yes. When things start to die down a bit.
I have the gardening time to put into the hydroponic system. Then we'll see.
And we want full reports.
I will take full reports, notes, pictures, keep you posted.
I was also going to suggest to you, when we had to, stop for a second, I was going to also suggest to you to, in the late fall, or early spring, throw in some poppy seeds.
Yes.
Poppy seeds. First of all, the birds will eat them, so throw in more than you can. They need sun to germinate, so you can't bury them. Mm-hmm. You can step on them so that they make contact with the soil better. But they need sun to germinate, and they like the cold.
Love it. So you can throw them in the winter then?
You can.
I like that.
And
I like that.
You might want to cover
milkweed.
Same with milkweed. You might want to cover it over with some tulle. So you're not just putting out a smorgasbord.
Yeah.
But once they get going, you know, once you have even a half a dozen poppies, you'll have poppies forever.
Oh, I love that. Yes.
That's a good thing. That's a really good thing.
Yeah. Once you get the seeds in, which, you know, I've been trying. So this last spring, I put so much wildflower seed in the yard, and I have a couple things, but not a whole ton. So it's growing.
Did you put the tool over it?
I did not put tool over it.
Put tool over it. Otherwise, you're just giving the birds food.
I fed the birds last.
You fed the birds last year. You know, you have to cover it.
Yeah.
And if you cover it with Remay, it doesn't get the same effect. It's protected, and it comes up too soon because it's warmer under the Remay. It comes up too soon, and then it will freeze too quickly. So do it with tool and bricks. So you wrap it around the height of the brick, so you have 4 inches, so that they can grow 4 inches before you have to remove the brick.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, good.
One of the things that I happened to see the other day was women giving other women, I don't know where it was, on Facebook or on television, tips on how to best make pasta sauce.
Oh.
I'm not going to go into major details, but every single one of those women said to blanch your tomatoes, to peel them.
Oh, so much work.
I know. And I thought I should write that, I should make a comment in there. And then I thought, you know, I'm just going to do it here. I learned years ago from Martha Stewart, thank you very much, who learned it from somebody else who was making an eggplant parm that day, that she just puts all of her tomatoes, she cores them so that all the hard parts are out. She gets beautiful ripe tomatoes, which you guys are going to have in your garden, and you stick them in either a food processor or one of those things that you love. What's those things that you love?
It's like a pulley
thing. An immersion thing. What is that?
Oh, an immersion blender. You're right.
An immersion blender.
Yeah.
You don't have to peel anything. They shred it so much that you don't see anything. You don't lose the color either.
Yeah.
Because tomato skin has got a nice color to it. And it's
vitamins.
So shredded. And vitamins. But you also don't, you shred it so much, you don't miss it. You don't see it. Nothing. And it saves you hours of blanching and peeling tomatoes.
Yes.
So all of my pasta sauce always has the skins shredded to smithereens. You would never know.
I love that.
You would never
ever
know.
I love that.
If you haven't got a food processor, I highly recommend one.
Mm-hmm.
I've had the same one for so long. I mean, you can't make pesto without a food processor.
You just buy it once. Yeah.
You know, I make all kinds of things with that food processor. Anyway, I love it.
Well, one thing, because we are currently, we're in the drowning in tomatoes phase right
now. Yes.
And a lot of the tomatoes that we have, it's like, we got to eat it today.
Yeah.
But we have 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 that we have to eat today.
Today.
So it's just like, you know, it's not really possible to eat for
what
two
you,
people to eat nine so tomatoes
you,
every day.
That's okay. What are you doing with them?
So, well, right now I just have them in my fridge because they were drawing gnats, and we normally have a pretty steady population of gnats from the house plants.
Yes, this is
but
gnat season.
It spiked with the tomatoes, so I just threw them in the fridge. But what I had heard from a friend was she washes them and then sticks them in a bag in the freezer.
Mm-hmm.
She freezes them, and then when she's ready to make sauce after, you know, all of her tomatoes are done, so she's just going to do one big batch. She
gets them out.
Gets them out, defrosts them.
Yep.
All of the liquid, all of that extra tomato water just drains from them as they defrost, so you don't have, you spend less time cooking.
Yeah.
Because you're not cooking the water out.
That's good.
And then if you do want the skins off, you can just like literally pull them off.
That's a good idea.
And you're not touching hot tomatoes. So, you know, again, I think I am going to just use the skins because I like the extra vitamin and the color. And you're right. You can blend it so much that it doesn't matter.
If but I were you, this is what I good for I the do. Water. This is what I do, because tomato, a big round tomato in your freezer is going to take up more space than what I have. Especially if you've got 20 or 50 tomatoes.
Yeah.
I would gather your I've got to eat them today tomatoes. I would take out the one or two that you're going to eat for slicers that night at the dinner table.
Yeah.
I would gather the others in your favorite big bowl that you like to do the immersion in. Wash them off, core them, do the immersion, throw them in a Ziploc, mark them just tomatoes. And then you can put that into any soup you want. You can put it into meatloaf. You can put it into pasta sauce. You can put it into whatever. You make a lot of tortilla soup. I'm sure that uses a little tomato base there. I make chili with it. I do vegetable soup with it. I do massive amounts with just tomatoes. And it takes maybe 5 minutes at that. And that's including marking up the Ziploc, which takes the longest time writing just tomatoes. And the date, you know, August 23. And you're done.
Yeah.
And you do that every day. And you've got then plastic bags. Then I freeze it on something very flat.
Yeah, that's the trick.
That's
is
the trick.
Not to have the lumps, because then that one part takes longer to defrost. So
that's
you can get that flat. Yeah.
So you freeze them flat. You know, you get a cookie sheet that's pretty even in your freezer, and you lay them in there, and then they're going to freeze in a day. Then you can put them anywhere. And you can stack up 20, 30 bags full. That's a lot of tomatoes.
That's nice. Yeah.
And then you've got this wonderful wealth. You banked your summer tomatoes, and there's nothing like it. Nothing.
Yes. Now we are in the harvest phase. This is,
we are
this
in the
is harvest.
Also, I want to talk to you about gnats. Hunt and I had gnats all the time. Yeah. Terrible. And one day, I made a risotto, or I made something with wine, and I left the dregs. I left an inch at the bottom of the wine bottle. And I realized a couple of days later when I looked in there, man, did I have the gnats dead in that wine bottle. So leave your dregs of your wine bottle. If you don't drink wine, cover a juice glass, put a piece of fruit in there. A piece of rotten tomato, a rotten peach, put a piece of bruised banana in there. Anything that is going to attract them. They're fruit flies. And you cover it over with a saran wrap, and you punch a hole in the top.
Yeah. Yes.
And you leave it near wherever they are, and, you know, 10 weeks later, you've got this really skanky-looking thing on your... But no more gnats. So that's another good thing to do. I wanted to tell people that there are some people that love to gather rose hips.
Oh, yes.
And roses take 40 days to make a new flower. So we're near the end of the roses. If you cut your roses now and bring them inside, and that's great. But if you cut every single rose, you won't have any rose hips. If you leave your roses on your shrubs and on the plants, and don't deadhead them, you're going to get your rose hips later. And now's the time to stop cutting them.
Yeah.
You know, cut one or two for your table, fine. But don't clear off your roses. It's going to turn cold soon. It's hard to believe, but it's going to turn cold soon. I'm not talking to California. I'm not talking to the Southwest. I'm talking to the rest of the country.
So zone, what would you say? Zone 6 and above?
I'd say zone...
Or eight, below?
Eight and below.
Eight and below. Okay.
I'm 8B, and I don't... I'm not going to cut mine.
Okay.
So from 9 up, you can do whatever you want, because you're going to still get roses in October, November. They might be a little rotten, but that's okay. So you need to stop deadheading your rose. That's one of on my list. Leave the plants until spring. We were talking about bugs and things. And just
your
like
meadow, right?
We've just been talking about lawn versus meadow. And one of the things that a lot of gardeners were taught to do to be good girls and boys was to do their fall cleanup. Mm-hmm. Don't do it.
Yes. Don't do it.
Don't do it. Apart from raking up the leaves around the lawn that you don't want to kill. Yeah. There are people that like that, you know?
Yeah.
Rake up the leaves and make them into a leaf pile for your leaf mold pile, which will benefit everything. But other than that, leave the leaves, leave the plants, leave them alone until late winter. Mm-hmm. When things are starting to come up, and then you cut it all off because those little bugs and animals and good things in your garden need protection.
Yes, and that's their home.
That's their home, and they need it. So leave it until early, early spring or late, late winter. Mm-hmm. Right now is the time to start planting fall crops.
Yes.
It's hard to believe. Lettuce, broccoli, cabbage.
Yep.
I know, it's 105
It feels all wrong.
It does.
Yeah. I have to do a big weeding, and then I'm going to be planting my fall crop.
Yeah. And you should start them now.
Yeah.
You know, you can start them indoors if it's too hot. Like, I've got 105. But it's going to go down into the 80s and 70s in the next week or two.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't mind having a few lettuce starts going.
No.
That I could just pop into the yard, and then we'd eat them until, you know, because fall here happens slow motion. Mm-hmm. You guys have fall and beautiful colors for a week. We have them for two months. Mm-hmm. Thanksgiving, it's still beautiful here.
Yeah.
So plant your fall crops, plan them out, plan what you want. What can you get? Where, you know, lettuce is fast. Radishes are fast. Don't plant carrots. We missed our carrot window this year, but that's okay. Mm. Right now, while it's still hot, though, there's two things I want people to think about in this meadow that you guys got planted, even if it's your lawn. Bees and butterflies need a shallow, shallow place for water. Mm-hmm. Like birds, like a shallow bird bath, you know, you don't want to drown them. Well, bees and butterflies, they need a shallow watering pan. They need something with pebbles in it.
Yeah.
And then you half fill it up so that the pebbles are sticking out so they can sit on the pebble and be oh so cool and drink the water.
Yeah.
They need that badly, especially now. You might not because you've had rain all summer.
We have so much water.
But for a lot of the people, like, we haven't had rain since May.
No, yeah.
You know, my butterflies and bees are dying. So I'm doing that. Yeah. And also,
it is also amazing, I will just say, having a little bit of a meadow, I see so many more butterflies.
Do you?
It's amazing. They come through and they're so pretty. And I have so many pictures of just butterflies flitting around. I've seen so many different kinds this year.
That's so rewarding.
Right? Right?
Your first year even.
Yeah.
One of the other things, now you don't have to worry about this because you've got your own wild animal in your backyard.
Yes.
But the other night, I have a little story, very small. I woke up with Chester and Pie both barking at the top of the stairs, which is right next to my bed, 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, no.
And it kept me awake, and they were barking like somebody was coming in the back door. And I thought, okay, we don't have guns or pistols in the house. The bats and the golf clubs are down in the garage. Mm-hmm. I have no weapon up here. So I grabbed my phone, and they wouldn't shut up. They would not shut up. And I came downstairs, and Chester beat me outside by a good 50 feet.
Yep.
Pie was kind of with me, but then he kind of ran off too. And Chester ran off to the back field. So I knew it wasn't burglars. It was coyotes.
Oh, God.
And it's hot, and it's dry here. Really, really, really dry. So I thought, they're coming up to try to get a drink from the swimming pool or the spa or something. They're trying to find a drink.
Yeah.
And the spa this year, we have a salt system. So it's not good for them to drink.
No.
What I did do was wait outside for about 10 minutes to see if I could get Chester back in. I sat down on a cold, very wet lawn chair, very dewy, half naked me. Pi wouldn't leave me. He was protecting me. It was really great. I looked up and saw a shooting star. So that was my reward.
Oh, that was beautiful.
It was really nice. But then I knew that Chester was just barking at the coyotes and it wasn't a burglar. And I finally went back in. And the next day I asked Haunt to set out a little trough of some sort of water near enough the house that we could easily keep it watered, but behind some trees so that Chester wouldn't bark. And he did. And so Chester hasn't been barking as much. I mean, I think they sneak up and get the water, but I want to put, I'm dying to put a wild
trail
animal.
Cam.
I want that. I want that bad. I want to see who's there because there are reports here. Because I'm out in the country. There are reports of not only coyotes, and I know that we have wolves. I've seen them.
Yeah.
So
is
your husband. Yes.
Yes. Oh, my God. That was crazy. We were driving out of your
driveway.
Down your road.
Yeah.
Headed back home for the evening. I think it was twilight. And Forrest is driving. There's this huge, huge dog. Gray. Stunning.
Beautiful dog.
Giant.
Yes.
And Forrest stops the car. He reaches for his seatbelt and goes to open the door. And I'm like, Forrest, it's a wolf.
Yeah.
I'm like, no.
That wolf has been around since I was here. He came up the first week I was here and I was in the spa alone. Haunt was on a shoot. And up he came. And he kind of looked at me like, can I trust you or not?
Yeah.
And my dogs were going crazy barking, and I thought, no, I can't have you here.
No.
But I love him, and I want him to have water.
Yes.
And I want other animals to have water. There have been notices of cougars or of mountain lions or bobcats.
Wow.
So, and we have hawks. We have eagles. I think, you know, I need to have a trail cam. Maybe my Christmas present this year. I don't know. We're going to see.
Fun.
We're going to see. Solar operated too.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, Elizabeth, what I love the most is I learned from you. I love that. Bacon fat ice cube trays. I love that. Haunt silicone ice cube trays, please. Yep. My birthday's in November. It's coming up.
Because easy enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what did you have for dinner?
We had hot dogs.
Oh, perfect. One of Benedetta's favorite. Oh, we have it's August 14th. My cousins from Rome are visiting, Benedetta and her daughter Teresa. Teresa's 15. They are having the best time here. Teresa has fallen in love with corn on the cob. We gave her 3 ears last night. She ate all three. We're just having the best time.
I love it.
Yeah.
Take pictures.
I will. And also, you know, we're going to be sending them your way and maybe you can meet up. Maybe you can't. I understand. Yeah. And they do too. They've got only about 9-10 days in New York, and they've got a lot of things to see and do.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. We're going to have, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but you know, they don't have baked potatoes in Italy. Mm-hmm. And she just heard about a twice baked potato.
Oh yeah. Good stuff.
So she wants to have twice baked potatoes. And I thought, well, we pulled out some steaks, but it's 105 out.
Ah.
So I don't know what we're going to have for dinner.
Cucumbers and watermelon.
Cereal.
Yeah, ice cream.
Ice cream. I like that. We'll figure something
out. You'll figure it out. Yeah,
we'll definitely figure it out. And then I'll teach her how to make twice baked potatoes. I've been teaching her how to do stuff, and she's wonderful. She loves to put things right, and I'm like, "Can you stay? Just don't go back to Rome. Can you please stay and help me here?" It's been wonderful. All right. Well, give Forrest my love.
Yes, our love. I will. Yes.
Good.
Give our love to Teresa and Benedetta.
I will.
Yeah.
And we'll talk soon. And Haunt. Good. Mwah.
Bye, sweetheart. All right. Love you whole bunches. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening. Check us out on Facebook at Gardening Related, on TikTok at Gardening Related, and on Instagram at gardening.related. Feel free to shoot us an email or ask any questions.
And also, I think we're on Facebook. Did you say that already?
Yeah.
And we've got a website.
Yep. We have a website.
What is it?
Gardeningrelated.com. Check us out.
Okay, good.
And give us some love.
Oh, I like that.